And welcome into the Thursday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz, is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. Joseph, good morning. How are you? What's going on?
Probably like you, tired. I don't know how I had to tap out after the first overtime, which sucked because it was such a fun game. But I had to tap out.
It only lasted one overtime. It's just one overtime.
Wait, what are you talking about?
It was one overtime.
He scored in the second overtime.
He scored with like 30 seconds left in the first overtime.
Oh, my God. I fell asleep with like a minute left in the overtime.
I woke up
at 4 a.m. and it was like Dreisaitl won, and I'm like, well, I wonder how far the second overtime that was.
All you had to do was just you make it another minute, you'd have been fine.
Holy crap! Like I seriously was like at the very end of the overtime. That's really sad.
Just a little bit of more time.
You would have made it. Of course, I also was like at the end of regulation, like, well, I just can't do this. Then it started, and I'm like,
Well, I should have known better because, Ian, you know how this works. You look at it, you say, okay, 7 o'clock start time. Mm-hmm. So that usually means, 7:08, somewhere around there.
7:20 in the playoffs.
Well, they just got, all this, the pomp and circumstance. I don't even know if they got going for 7:30 last night. So it was like, all right, well, we're already behind the eight ball. A little bit here, and then of course it goes to overtime. But yeah, he made it because I was with you. I was like, you know what? It's game one. I don't know that I can justify staying up three overtimes for game one. If it was the last game, like game seven, I'd do it. But I'm going to sleep, and then Dreisaitl scored, so I was good.
I didn't even make it to overtime, so good for you guys.
Thank you.
End of regulation, 10 o'clock. I was done.
I was gonna do that, and then it was like. Like, I was just doing stuff, and then it started. I'm like, okay, I got it. And then I woke up at 4 a.m., to pee, or
sure.
Maybe 3 a.m., whatever it was. And I, of course, looked at my phone, and I just assumed it was way into, I was like, how early in the second overtime was that? It was in the first overtime.
It was.
God. That's a real fail on my part.
It's all good.
Great game.
Yeah, really good.
Fun game.
I think that's what we're going to get.
Yeah.
I think these two teams are really, really good, and they're pretty close to evenly matched. And, I don't know that it's going seven like it did last year. Obviously, I think it's going to be a different route to get to seven if it does do that than it was last year. I doubt very seriously that Edmonton's going to go up 3-0 in this series. I think you're going to see some back and forth here. But, I mean, that's what the game was last night. Edmonton scores right out of the hop. Then Florida rolls off three in a row. Edmonton comes back and ties it and wins in overtime. I mean, it was really good hockey. And if you're a Predators fan watching it, a lot of familiar guys out there last night with some big moments. Arvidsson scores.
Hustle.
Ekholm scores. And it felt like 2017 all over again out there for a little while.
Meanwhile, you got Dan Muse getting the Pittsburgh Penguins. Former Preds are just taking over the league.
I got to say, I did not see that one coming. Did not see the Dan Muse hire in Pittsburgh coming. So, we'll see how that goes. I have no idea.
Was there even, a mention of him?
No, there was not. So, I saw that, I think Friedman put it out early yesterday, and I was like, really? Dan Muse is getting consideration?
Friend of the show?
Willie said he mentioned it on the 32 Thoughts podcast.
There you go.
At least Friedman did mention Muse once on there. So, I guess... Seemed kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, even people in Pittsburgh are like, really? So who's this guy?
We'll see. Friend of the show. Friends of the show.
He is friends of the show.
Are they friends? I don't know. Do we ever have Arvidsson on this show?
I don't think we had Arvidsson. Arvidsson, not a big radio guy.
Yeah.
I like. We definitely had Ekholm.
Oh, yeah. We had
Ekholm. Big friend of the Robin Retro program.
Ekholm a lot. Yeah.
So it was great stuff last night. I said before the game, I took Edmonton in seven. And yes, picking Edmonton in seven, I immediately was like, you're an idiot. Why are you picking against Florida? You're just dumb. But I watched McDavid and Dreisaitl, and last night's a pretty good example. Florida did a semi-decent job of keeping McDavid in check last night. And yet, you think about the Ekholm goal, who's making the play behind the net? It's McDavid. And the game winner for Dreisaitl in overtime, it's McDavid making the play right in front of the net. I mean, he's impossible to stop. You just can't stop him.
Yeah. And, you know, like early in that overtime, Florida was all over it. And I was like, they are scoring. Stuart Skinner, after that third goal, that was actually
really good.
Pretty amazing. But really, Edmonton dominated the rest of the overtime that I saw.
Yeah. Well, you didn't miss much of it. It ended 45 seconds after you went to sleep, apparently.
I want to go back and retrace my steps and try to figure out what happened. So I fell asleep on the couch, and then I got up, and I thought, oh, man. But anyway, Edmonton, I mean, that was pretty convincing the way that they controlled most of that game, you know.
They're not perfect defensively, but they've gotten way better defensively. Now, look, they get the big win. Florida's been in this spot. They've been down before, and they've come back. They were down 2-0 against Toronto, and they came roaring back. So you're going to see, a really good game from Florida in game two. And I would not be surprised if it goes something like Florida winning game two, Florida winning game three, Edmonton winning game four, and no matter kind of a different path to get there, you get back to game five and this thing's all squared up at two. Like, I fully expect that to happen.
Yeah, it seems like a good enough matchup that a seventh game could be possible, which, of course, is an amazing thing in this tournament. And we'll see if that's the case, if being at home, you know, makes the difference for, you know, for Edmonton this time.
We'll see. I mean, it was certainly, you know, there are some atmospheres that come through the TV where you're like, wow, it's buzzing in there. And that was one of them last night. Like, Edmonton was, it was hopping in there. So, yeah, I mean, you expect that. Canadian market, Stanley Cup final, team from Canada hadn't won the Cup since 1993. And specifically, this team is really hungry to get there and do it. So we'll see what that looks like. You know, I really last year in this series probably found myself rooting for Florida. Just because, you know, there's not much history there with Florida, and I really like Paul Maurice. This year, like, I find myself last night watching, and even though, like, you know, I wasn't a Predators fan while the Cup Final was going on, I do love Matthias Ekholm and Victor Arvidsson, and watching those guys play big roles last night, I was like, yeah, I hope these guys win. Like, get out there and get you a cup.
Yeah, no, it'd be great to see. I mean, both great guys and both huge parts of the Preds, the best stretch the Preds have had.
Yep.
I mean, Arvidsson, I know in 17, one of the storylines, he didn't produce in the postseason like he had in the regular season, but still, I mean, he had some huge goals.
Yep.
You know, coming up the right side there with that RV hustle.
He ripped it last night. Like, the shot clock said 90 on there, and I was like, yeah, here you go. I mean, Arvidsson's never going to be, you know, Ovechkin blasting one out there, buddy.
Right.
You know, he got all of that one. A little 90 and right through the kind of the pad of Bobrovsky there. I was like, look at you, Arvidsson.
You look at how they've built that team. I mean, that's what you have to have some guys like that.
I mean, he's been a healthy scratch at points in the playoffs. That's kind of where they're at with their depth. And, you know, he's not the same guy that he was here, but he can still give you every now and then some good pop out there.
Yeah.
So, cool to see last night.
Yeah, Ekholm, I'd like to see them win it.
Ekholm getting back in there. Like, Elliot Friedman was talking about this on 32 Thoughts, and I agree. It's kind of amazing that Edmonton got here basically without him. Like, he played one game in the Dallas series, which was game five that they won. Up in that, he hadn't played in the playoffs. And the fact that they were able to win and really defend as well as they've defended without him kind of scares you a little bit if you're Florida, like, oh, crap, he's back the whole time now. And then last night, you know, he's playing his, you know, it's an overtime game, so he got to exaggerate a little bit. He's playing his 30-some-odd minutes last night, and he looks like Matthias Ekholm.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so like we were talking about with Dan Rosen, you get that trade-off. I mean, Zach Hyman is a huge loss, of course, but to get the help on the blue line like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good thing to have if you're them. They can handle the offense, as we could see.
Yeah.
They can handle the offense. So, going to be a fun Cup final. Looking forward to game two coming up, and I think we're in for a heck of a series in the Stanley Cup final. We got a lot to get into on the program here today. We'll have Vinny Goodwill from Yahoo talking NBA finals coming up at 7:30. That begins tonight. So, the Stanley Cup final underway last night, NBA finals getting underway tonight. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Titans and NFL with him later in the program. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up later this hour at 6:45. Speaking of hockey, there was a mock draft done earlier this week that frankly, if it plays out this way for the Predators, I think you're going to see a lot of excited Predators fans. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
In the corner, Arvidsson the other way, shoots and scores. Bobrovsky, beaten glove side, one he'd like to have back. And Edmonton gets a break. Victor Arvidsson with his second goal of the playoffs, and the Oilers are within 3-2. Oilers move in left to right, Kapanen to the net, McDavid out front, shooting and scoring. Mattias Ekholm ties the game. 3-3, brand new hockey game. Nugent Hopkins on the left half boards under pressure. Turns and gives it up. Beautiful pass. McDavid in front. One time and score! Leon Draisaitl! 4-3! Edmonton in overtime!
That's how it sounded last night. Edmonton gets the win in game one. They take a 1-0 lead in the Stanley Cup final against the Florida Panthers. Some familiar names there for Predators fans. Victor Arvidsson, Mattias Ekholm, and the guy who scores 1,000 goals every time you play him, Leon Draisaitl, last night.
Yeah, there's that too. Remember when Pekka dominated the Oilers for a long time? And then all of a sudden,
like, wow, Pekka has won like 15 straight against the Oilers.
And then it turned.
And it flipped.
And it turned a little bit.
It's like, wow, Leon Draisaitl scored 15 consecutive goals against the Predators. It's unbelievable what they do. We'll see what happens in game two of that series. But Joe, whenever this series comes to an end, that means we are getting ever closer to the NHL draft, which is later this month for the Predators. The first round coming up on June the 27th. So we are 22 days away from the NHL draft coming up. Predators holding the number 5 overall pick. So that means, Joe, that we are getting into mock draft season. Not in the NFL, but in the NHL. Rarely do I pay attention to these mock drafts in the NHL because, frankly, the Predators usually have not been in enough of a spot where I really care all that much to look at the mock drafts. This year they are, and you're picking number 5. And Corey Pronman, who does a great job at The Athletic, kind of scouting through all these guys and putting together some of these mock drafts, and also does some really good, you know, prospect reports and things of the like. He's got an interesting mock draft that, frankly, if I'm the Predators and I'm a Predators fan, I would probably sign up for right now and I would take. Now, the first two picks in his draft are no surprise. We've talked about these guys a lot. Matthew Schaefer, the defenseman, yep. He's got him going number 1 to the Islanders. He's got Michael Mesa, who we've talked a lot about, going number 2 to the Sharks. I think regardless of what order it is, if the Islanders stay at 1, there's some talk about maybe the Sharks throwing an all-out blitz at the Islanders to try to move up to number 1. To get Schaefer. I think regardless of who's picking at 1 and 2, you're going to see Schaefer 1, Mesa 2. I think that's the way it's going to go. You know, we've talked about kind of the interesting logjam after that. We've talked a lot about James Hagans all year long for a potential target for the Predators. At one point, he was viewed as maybe he's going to be the number 1 guy. You know, I mentioned when the Predators lost out on the draft lottery, there's a kid named Anton Frundell who's gotten a lot of love lately. Well, Pronman's got Frundell going number 3 to the Blackhawks as a centerman. Porter Martone, who's a very, very talented winger, he's got going number 4 to the Utah Mammoth, which I will have to get used to saying the Utah Mammoth. Which means that at number 5, James Hagans is available for the Nashville Predators, and that's who he's got him going with. The number 5 pick, he's got the Predators taking James Hagans. Says, quote, Nashville adds high-end skill and speed down the middle with Hagans. Even if he isn't the biggest player, he brings the potential to be a major point producer. This is the write-up on James Hagans. Now, he's right about the size, and that's really the concern with Hagans. I think he's 5'10".
5'10
and he's listed at 177. So he's got a lot of bulking up to do there. But the high-end skill and, you know, We've had Adam Kimmelman on. We've had different people on over the last few months. You know, I remember Kimmelman saying, like, at the high end, he might end up being like a Jack Hughes type of player. That sounds exciting to add to your lineup if you're the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, and definitely, you know, I think initially when the lottery happened, I mean, Hagans was a guy that I think you kind of, to me, counted out, you know, as a as a possibility. Like you said, Schaefer, Misa, some combination. I think that's kind of grown into the expectation by everybody. We've talked about Porter Martone for sure as a winger that maybe would be there, and it still could be the case.
Yep.
You know, but Frondell seems to be the thing that maybe has changed a little bit, if this is really how people are thinking. And, you know, it's an interesting thought here too, on Frondell with the Blackhawks, you know, the possibility of, you know, pairing with Bedard and moving Bedard to the wing.
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know
if that's the way to go.
That's the way that I would go long term. I mean, Bedard has got a he's got to find a way to kind of dig in a little more and get better at faceoffs and all that stuff. But I think he'll probably get there at some point. But, like, the idea of maybe freeing Bedard up, you know, as a winger to be more of a shoot-first guy, maybe that's the idea there. I if I'm the Blackhawks, I would love the idea of here's Bedard on line one as a center, and here's Frondell on line two as a center.
Exactly.
That would be kind of my long-term vision there. If it plays out this way for the Predators, you know, after the – extreme disappointment from Predators fans of ending up with the worst possible scenario in the draft lottery. Like, I think you'd probably walk away from this being happy. And that's why I said at the time, I know it sucks now because you don't have as much control over who's going to be there. You're still going to walk away with a pretty good player. Like,
yeah.
Any of these guys in the top five that Pronman has thrown out there, and I would actually stretch it down to six because the Caleb – I don't even know how to pronounce his last name. I'm not going to lie to you.
Desnoyers.
Yeah. He is pretty good as well. So you're going to walk away with a pretty good player here. If it played out this way for the Predators, I mean, I'd probably sign up for that right now if I was Nashville. You know, is James Hagans, if they take him at number five, is he going to be playing for the big club next year? Probably not, at least not to start. Like, I think he's probably going back to college at Boston College, and then you can go from there. But, you know, maybe when his college season ends next year, he's ready to come up and play at that point. Either way, like, I think you're long-term, you're looking at a pretty good prospect. I mean, he would immediately be easily the number one prospect that they've got and that they've had in a while.
Yeah, it'd be a great scenario for them. Now, another guy that we've talked about, and not a size issue, the opposite, you know, as a possibility at five, Roger McQueen, 6'5", 6'5" and a quarter, by the way, 6'5" and a quarter, 197. This mock draft has him dropping to 10 to the Ducks, of course, as we've talked about. He got the back injury, but I we'll see how it shakes out. If it doesn't shake out the way this lays it out, could that be a possibility for them? You know, Hagans is gone by then. Is McQueen, is it possible that you take a flyer on McQueen despite the back injury?
Well, and it's interesting, like, because there's more information that's come out on the McQueen back injury this week. So the injury, it was a fracture in his lower back. That's what the injury was.
Sounds terrible.
It was initially diagnosed as a bulging disc. So it was misdiagnosed, he said, this week. Exactly, yeah. It was misdiagnosed this week, and so he finally had surgery on it, and now he says he's 100% ready to go. Like, I I'm no back expert. Neither one of those sound good. I mean, I would assume that you'd rather have the fracture than the bulging disc, just because it's like a break, and so you can just repair it and go rather than like some lingering degenerative back issue at that point. So maybe that helps him out in the draft. I don't know, but it's going to be really interesting to see where he goes, because I think he could go anywhere from like 4 to 15, somewhere in that range.
Yeah. So did you notice that there's one goalie taken in the first round?
I did notice that.
Did you notice who took the goalie in this mock draft in the first round?
I did.
Let's do it.
That would be one Nashville Predators.
Yes.
Taking Joshua Ravensburg in 26. And also, this is a big goalie, 6'5", also 6'5" and a quarter, by the way. 6'5" and a quarter, 190. So,
I mean,
that'd be interesting.
First off, this draft here is assuming that they keep all three of their first-round picks, which I think if you're doing the mock draft, at this point you might as well just assume, and then you can react to information as it goes. But, like, let's say it played out the way that Pronman's got it playing out here in the mock draft, where you get – potentially a franchise-changing centerman with your first pick at number five. You take a right-shot defenseman later in the first round, and then a goalie, the only goalie in the first round. Like, that's three pretty important positions for the Predators there that would be nice to have on the pipeline. I know you had a franchise caliber, we think, potential goalie that you took in the first round a few years ago that you just moved on from this offseason, but yes, apparently replacing him in the pipeline.
Man, well, I mean, it's something that, you know, that position, you probably need to address at some point.
Well, so. They're going to. They've, you know, they've said in their kind of pre-draft stuff, they're going to take a goalie. They may take two of them. It's just kind of a matter of where that happens for them.
Ethan from Lawrenceburg says, I get Shane Wright vibes from Higgins. Give me Roger McQueen, highest upside in the draft.
He's got a pretty high upside. Is it the highest in the draft? I don't know that I'd go that far, but he's got really high upside. I think he's also, you start talking about back injury, that scares a lot of people off.
Well, Devin from Dover says, back injury, Titans would take him in a heartbeat.
Well, maybe so. Maybe so. Maybe,
yeah, Titans are like, yeah, bring him to town, man. We'll find a spot for him.
Yeah, the Higgins thing is interesting because Higgins, kind of heading into all this process this year, was the number one guy. Like everybody thought Higgins was going number one. And from everything I can tell, like, he was good his freshman season at Boston College. So it's not like he played poorly. Now, was he, like, electric? Was he unbelievable? No, he wasn't. And I think some other guy, like Misa, played great this year. You know, Schaefer kind of is in his own category as defenseman. And then the Frondell kid had a really good year overseas. So, like, I don't think that people are necessarily down on Higgins based on the way that he's played. They just were really impressed by some of these other guys. So what does that mean for Higgins? I don't know. Like, did his stock fall this year because he played poorly? At the end of the day, you're talking about potentially ended up at number five. So didn't fall that far.
Yeah. The size is a little bit of a concern.
Yep. But we see smaller players in today's NHL. You can overcome that, I think, a little easier than you used to. Like Jack Hughes, not a very big guy. He could play.
Yeah, you'll take him. Yeah. So if it's anything like that, then obviously it'd be a gold mine. But I am intrigued by McQueen. It's just that's such a huge question of in terms of like the long term. Yep. You know, probably not. And some teams are definitely gonna, again, just like with anything like this, some teams are just going to not have him on the board.
Yep.
What will the Preds have?
It's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out, and we'll find out here in about 3 weeks coming up in the NHL draft. So we'll keep you up to date with the latest on all of that. Stilly is very upset with Jeffrey Simmons and reached a new ultimatum on Simmons yesterday. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rexrow, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
I do wonder if now's the time to get out. And if the guy to get out with is Brian Burns. My guess is the Giants would probably want to trade you Thibodeau before they'd want to trade you Burns. I'd rather have Burns. Trade for Brian Burns, put him at edge rusher, move Draymond Jones inside a little bit, expect sacks from Burns and Arden Key. Tavondre Sweat's going to play more. He's fine as a nose tackle. He doesn't sack the quarterback, which I would prefer, but fine. But I do... This is kind of the first time that I've ever thought to myself, okay, this just isn't working out. And the Titans can't go back on Simmons is our guy. They can't go back on it. They're not going to strip him of the captaincy. They don't do things like that. So this is the first time I've said, all right, let's consider it. And that's the move I'd like to make. Simmons for Brian Burns straight up.
There you go. Stilly has had enough of the Jeffrey Simmons era here in town. He is ready to move on and trade Simmons for Brian Burns of the New York Giants. Rex Road, we're going to get to a couple things that Stilly said throughout his program yesterday, including a Vanderbilt baseball take that continues to just boggle my mind that we'll get to later in the program at 7:45. But Jeffrey Simmons obviously has been a popular topic of conversation after he has not been at the OTAs for the Titans to this point. Now, minicamp is next week. As Kuharsky said yesterday, you would assume that he will be there at that point, so I don't think there's any reason why he wouldn't be there at that point, but he's not been at OTAs to this point, and Stillman ready to move on, ready to trade Jeffrey Simmons, as you heard there, for Brian Burns. Straight up, your thoughts?
First of all, I'd like to point out that you're bringing up Stilly, not me. So, you know, so someone really on the text line is always like, oh, you're talking about. I'm just sitting here, man. I'm just sitting here doing a show.
Every now and then I've got to be the one that brings him up.
I my favorite part of that was like, move Draymond Jones inside a little bit. What does that mean? Like, sort of move him inside? In between somewhere?
Draymond, we want you halfway inside, halfway on the edge.
You're a 4.5 technique, okay? How about that? Let's try that.
Just stand straight up and pick which way you're going.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Is this a remotely, feasible trade from the Giants' perspective? Do they want to do that? They send Burns for Jeff Simmons. I don't know.
I mean,
I have no idea.
Look, if I'm the Titans, I'd probably look into it, right? I mean, Burns is 27 years old, and if the Giants had any appetite for it, I'd be interested. If I were the Titans, if I'm the Giants, this is me. Maybe they view it differently, but I look at Burns and I say, okay, edge rusher, a guy that for the last 5 years has been basically a 9-sack guy. He was 9 sack, 12.5, 8.5. Like, it's pretty good consistency.
Yeah, I'm probably just going to stand pat. But they're you never know with their GM, I guess.
It's true.
It's weird that this didn't come up on my Jared versus Joe win yesterday, because we talked Simmons. We talked about the other things that he wanted to do, Jared wanted to do, is the big thing, he wants to strip his captaincy,
yep,
and for Callahan to pick captains. I disagree with that, and Caroline agreed with me. I think players should pick the captains. I know that he talked about, like Floyd and others, and I count the votes, and if I think it's a bad vote, then, the votes kind of turn out a certain way.
But I think we've seen that happen before, yeah.
Yeah, probably. But I totally disagree with it. Look, I think Brian Callahan should be a little bit disappointed right now in Jeffrey Simmons for not showing up to voluntary stuff. I think it's lame that Simmons didn't show up. But I don't know that you then now need to make this some big public, showdown or, reprimand for everybody to. Yeah, I think, a big thing here is, again, now we're getting into Callahan stuff. Like, he never holds anybody accountable, all that stuff. I don't know that that's going to help you all that much. But, look, the whole Simmons conversation is fair,
yeah,
in terms of concerned about him. Would you be willing to move him? Is he worth the money he's making now? I would say right now, no. But it's not going to be easy to move him and get anything back of value that you'd feel good about.
Well, that's the thing. What do you – I have my doubts that they could get Brian Burns back for him. Like, if I'm the Giants, I just don't really know why you'd do that. Like, I place a huge premium on edge rushers, and particularly good, consistent edge rushers, which is what Brian Burns has been. Now, a lot of his career to this point has been wasted because he's been in Carolina and now the Giants. So he's been a consistent, good sacker of the quarterback that it really hasn't mattered all that much because he's played on some terrible teams. So there is that. But I don't know that you could get him back for a Jeffrey Simmons trade. And then the question is, all right, what do you get back? I think Kuharsky put it out there last year that he had asked around and that, like, you might be able to get a second-round pick back for him. Could you still get that back for him? Would that be attractive to you if you're the Titans? Because then,
I'd be surprised if you get a second right now.
I kind of would be too. And then the – if you get it back, it becomes, okay, well, you got a second-round pick back for him, and now you got to go replace Jeffrey Simmons, right? Like,
yeah.
I like Devondre Sweat. Devondre Sweat by himself, like, they don't have another guy to pair with him right now. So what's that going to look like?
Yeah, for as much as we complain about Jeffrey Simmons not being superstar, not playing up to the deal right now. What if you take him out of the defense?
Right,
as bad as it was last year, it's not. That's a loss. I agree. Like, if you can get value back, that's worthwhile. But I just have my doubts about it. Yeah, I mean, he's probably right. Like, Thibodeau would be,
yeah,
what they'd want. And of course, he's been a huge disappointment so far.
Yeah, and I don't know that I would do that either. Now, the larger point on Simmons is an interesting one in terms of. We've had this discussion about Simmons, the leadership. Is he the one that really needs to be the leader of the team? Is he the leader, the spokesman of the team because they just don't have better options at this point. Like, all that's still fair. And look, it, you know, some of this goes back to, you know, the Callahan part of it last year when, remember the 3-day discussion we had about him not kicking Jeffrey Simmons out of practice and all that stuff. Like, there's a lot that's going on with Simmons. And look, to be fair, as we've talked about, none of it has been, like, bad. It's not like Jeffrey Simmons has been some huge problem in his NFL career where he's gotten in a bunch of legal trouble and he's gotten himself suspended and all these different things. Like, he's not been that. He just has repeatedly displayed maybe not the qualities that you're looking for in your leader. And it does make you wonder, like, I don't think they're in any sort of contract dispute right now. Why is he not here? Is it the world's biggest deal? No. Are we going to look back if the Titans struggle this year and blame it on Jeffrey Simmons not showing up to football workouts in June? Probably not. But it does, like, when you look around the rest of the team and, like, everybody's there and he's not there and he's supposed to be one of your leaders, it does make you just kind of look at the situation and say, why? Like, why are you not there?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and some there are other people at other teams who do this who have their own thing and they just want to do what they do and they believe that works for them. So it's not like, you know, he is on an island with this team. He's on an island league-wide. But, yeah, I think that all the talk about, you know, being angry about being the worst team in the league and, yep, and trying to turn that around and what he wants to be for this team, I would say being around would be a good way to work on that.
You would think. Now, you know, I would assume that he's going to be there next week and he'll probably get asked about this, and I'm interested to see what he says. I'm
get
sure
in there,
it'll
PK.
Just be, I'm sure PK probably the one doing the asking, and it'll be, you know, it's voluntary. I don't have to be there. I'm doing my own thing. I've got my own plan. Which, by the way, you know, people have talked about, you know, what is Brian Callahan going to say something about this? I don't think so. Like, Brian Callahan, like, you can't really get up there if you're the head coach and start yelling at people about not being there for voluntary workouts. No. Like, that's probably not going to go over very well with the NFLPA and all that
it's
stuff.
It's not. Yeah. You definitely cannot reprimand. So, Ed says, why would the Giants do that? They already have a better DT in Lawrence. Makes no sense, and it's just a June radio segment filler. You said it, Ed, not us.
Like I said, I don't think that the Giants would be very smart to make that trade. So we'll see if there's anything ever that comes from that. I mean, look, at this point, the Titans, it's June. I don't think the Titans are going to be shopping Jeffrey Simmons in June. I think if that was going to happen, you probably would have seen it earlier in the offseason.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And you know, you need to start moving forward with your team. You know,
yeah.
Denard Wilson needs to know what he has. I mean, you know, you're trying to put a defense together. He'll be on it. He'll be on the team this year. And he'll probably be a team captain too, which is not a bad thing. It's just that they need some other people to emerge and maybe let him step back a little bit would be good. The question is, who is that?
We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up next. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Gwinnett at First Horizon Park. Pre-game beginning at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles, yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Rex Road, kick us off, sir, with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
All right, real quick, I'm going to let Double Door in Memphis have a quick guest, best and worst. I know we usually do this after we say ours, but you know, his best with a brief conversation with me. I'm Jesse Lee Drive for. It was good to meet you, Double Door. His worst, it's a good worst, Florida and Wake baseball coaches' behavior. But my worst is Vanderbilt baseball. My best is Tennessee baseball. It's pretty simple, man. I mean, it's Tennessee.
GB Joe, baby.
Yeah, and again, I'm not, you know, I'm not picking sides at all, but it is what it is. Tennessee, that's five straight to the second weekend. No one else has done that in that time. It's pretty impressive. And, you know, being challenged, because you are challenged in this tournament. Wake challenged them, and they responded. Then Vanderbilt, four straight, not getting to the second weekend, which is hard to believe, honestly, when you really think about it and the quality of the teams that they continue to have. Yes, they've had flaws. Yes, they need more power hitting, all that stuff. But it's way underperforming in the postseason.
Yep.
Especially for this team and the team 2 years ago, a number one overall seed and a number six seed. And that's my worst. Pretty simple.
I think that's very fair. Ian Safar, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
I'm going to channel my inner Keezer here and go best as just cup final, going hockey.
It's pretty awesome.
I mean, the rematch, both teams. I mean, game one already to overtime. McDavid and Draisaitl, Florida responding back and forth. Looks like it could be a very good series. So I'm going to rock with that as my best, the combo. And worst, on a little sad note, the sports science guy, John Brink, has passed away.
That does suck.
Yeah.
Young.
Wasn't he like 54?
Yeah. And so I think he was battling some things from what I was reading. So just sad. I remember that show.
I used to love that
when
show.
When that came on like ESPN or ESPN2.
Yeah.
Something like that. It was always pretty interesting when that kind of stuff was first like emerging in the sports world. And now it's just, you don't even think about it. It's just all the teams, all the money they put into all that kind of stuff. Sad note there.
I used to love that show.
Yeah.
Like it would come on. I'd be like, this is the coolest thing in the world. This is awesome. I'd watch every episode. It was
very
good
cool
stuff.
Show.
Very sad news on that front. My best thing in sports, I'll go a couple things here. Connor McDavid specifically, and the kind of the run that he's on. You know, it was interesting to get Dan Rosen on a couple of days ago talking about how weird kind of the timing is with this lining up. If you look back through history, and Gretzky and Messier losing the first time around and then winning the next year in the cup final, Crosby and Malkin doing the same thing, and McDavid, Draisaitl with the opportunity to do that now. So, and just watching that guy play, I've said it before, I stand by it now. I think of the athletes out there in the big four of team sports that we watch in this country the most, he is the best at his sport. And I know he hasn't won a championship yet. I got a feeling that may be changing here in a few days. But he is, to me, the best athlete currently going at his sport in the sports that we watch. And I include Mahomes in that. I include everyone in that. He's that great. So,
can't argue.
If you haven't watched him in the playoffs, I would encourage you to watch him in the cup final, because it's been unbelievable. My worst thing in sports, I want to go back to this Peter DeBoer thing in the Western Conference final. You know, they were going to lose that series. So I don't think this is like some series losing decision for him. But you are talking about a team that has gotten to the Western Conference final 3 years in a row. They've paid their star goalie. And they got down 2-0 in a blink of an eye in game five. And he pulls the goalie to the side. They're like at a TV timeout. And the goalie, Jake Oettinger, is skating back out to the net. And DeBoer's like, no, no, no. Come on off. Come on off. He pulls him. In game five of the playoffs, when you're down by two goals like 3 minutes into the game, like, it's unbelievable. And apparently the fallout from that, it did not go over well with the players. He's got 1 year left on his contract. There seems to be some noise coming out of Dallas that he might get fired, which is kind of amazing when you think about going to three consecutive Western Conference finals. It seems like an all-time, like, just total panic mishandling of a situation from a coach. And, again, I don't think they're going
to – And then the stuff he said about it.
Yeah, and then he doubled down on it, was like, you know, basically our goalie kind of sucks against Edmonton. He didn't say it that way, but that's basically what he was saying. I've never seen a coach kind of handle something that way. And, again, they weren't winning the series, so, like, it didn't cost them the series or anything. But that's when, like, when he did that, I was like, they're cooked. And then, of course, they put the backup goalie in, and he lets up a goal on the first shot. And it's like, well, of course he did. Cool. Right.
Yeah. No, that's a good worst. You know, everybody talks about John Tortorella and his, you know, irascibility. But Peter DeBoer is he's like the little bit more subtle, like, just
he's got
unlikable guy.
He's got like, a lot of
– actually, Tortorella's pretty likable to me.
DeBoer's got a lot of love to him. Like, if you look at his career, he's very good coach. Like, he's got – I mean, I think he's been to five of the last six Western Conference Finals.
And then he wears on people. Yeah.
Like, he's very effective, but then he wears on people. So we'll see what happens in Dallas there. One texter says, the best thing, I know a lot of people are not excited about the NBA Finals, but I'm ready for game one tonight. This is from an unnamed texter. Says, the worst is the Stephon Diggs boat trip. Good to see Diggs show up to the Patriots OTAs the other day. He was on the field.
Plenty of pep.
Greg says, best Tennessee baseball. The worst is the Knicks firing their coach. That's a pretty good one. I mean, Thibodeau getting fired after taking them to a conference final, which they had not been to since the 90s. Interesting stuff.
There's some fair criticisms of him, but look what he's done.
Yeah.
I'll bet anybody right now that whoever they hire, and I know there's like talk about like Jay Wright, you know, he knows, you know, Brunson and Hart from college. I mean, whoever they hire is not getting the Knicks to the conference finals next year. Let me put that down right now in writing for you, okay? Anybody want to bet me?
This is a Joe Rexroad guarantee. I like it.
Sure. It's a guarantee.
I'm with you. I don't think they're getting back.
There we go. Yeah, it's just I unless there's something more, sometimes there is, unless there's something more to the story there, but I haven't seen anything. It's just like, it's just, you know, the Knicks are mismanaged from the top, and they're lucky that they got to where they did, which I think would probably put a lot of credit on Thibodeau, right?
You would think so. Yeah. I was stunned. I was like, when it first got announced that he got fired, I was like, I can't be reading this properly. It was a similar reaction I had yesterday when I saw Dan Muse got hired by the Pittsburgh Penguins. I was like, this can't be real. But turns out it is.
Friend of the show, congrats, Dan.
Way to go, Dan. Hey.
Can't believe you got that job, Dan.
I can't
congrats,
either.
Dan.
But in all seriousness, everybody in Nashville seemed to love him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really nice guy. So
nice guy. Good for him. Great job.
Sure, Sidney.
Great opportunity.
Crosby's fired up today. Ready to go.
I mean, he probably was Sidney's choice, right?
Could have been. A high-profile NFL commentator continues to just espouse love for Cam Ward. He had more of it yesterday. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.